What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Monday, the beginning of another amazing week, I hope, for you. And every Monday around here, we do something called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information to help you improve your practice in your life, a number for you to think about that moves the needle in your practice. And do you know there's a number that when you get it right, you can reduce patient attrition, predict future success, and save thousands of dollars on failed recall attempts? It's called pre-appointment percentage. Now, this is a big one, and it's a relatively new one if you've been in dentistry for a long time. But it gives us a good indication of how successful you're going to be as a practice in the future. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know, today is Monday. It's the beginning of hopefully an amazing week for you. And you know what we do on Mondays? We do something called Metric Monday, a little bite-sized piece of information that gets you to think about your practice. And there's a lot of metrics in dentistry. And thank God I have my co-host here, good friend, director of education, amazing coach, great speaker, Miranda Beeson. She's back. Happy Monday, Miranda.
Thanks so much. Happy Monday to you.
Yeah. So today, Metric Monday, we're going to be talking about an important metric. Tell us about it.
So today we're going to be talking about pre-appointment percentage. And like you just said a moment ago, there's so many metrics that we can be looking at and they can get confusing. And so we're just breaking them down one by one. And this is a metric that can get a little bit confused with like hygiene reappointment or new patient reappointment. There's a lot of pre and reappointment stats that you can look at in your practice. So today we're focusing on pre-appointment percentage. And what that is the percentage of your active patients. So the patients that have been in your practice for an appointment within the last 18 months who leave your office with a future appointment already scheduled. So again, this can be any appointment, right? It's not just hygiene. It's not just looking at new patients. This is any active patient that's been in your practice in the last 18 months who's leaving their visit with a future appointment already scheduled. So it's calculated by dividing the number of active patients who are scheduled for a future visit by your total number of active patients. So this is really important because it's helping you to see the health of your practice in terms of patient loyalty. How many patients are tethered to your practice by way of a future appointment? You can have 4,000 active patients, but if only half of those or less have a future appointment, you're going to be working really hard to maintain the health of your practice. So what this looks like and how it impacts a practice, it helps to drive future schedule stability. So again, if you have people pre-scheduled for restorative appointments, hygiene appointments, any future appointments, that high reappointment percentage is going to mean that you're not starting each month with an empty schedule or a lot of holes on your schedule, relying heavily on last minute quick fill situations, just plugging those holes, or high dollars going into marketing to fill your chairs. It reduces that risk of patient attrition. So I mentioned loyalty. When you have people tethered to the practice with a future appointment, it's going to keep that attrition lower. Those people, what we call the leaky bucket, falling out the leaky bucket. It's been, you know, more than 18 months since they've been in. They're no longer active. It's that much harder to get them back into the practice. so it helps to limit patient attrition. And patients with nothing scheduled are far more likely to fall through the cracks and eventually leave your practice. You know, a lot of times, by the time they need a dentist, either one, you don't have a availability, or two, they've gone and found somebody else. They you know, complain to their friend about something and they've gone and found another dentist. So when you keep them tethered to your practice, it keeps that loyalty, it keeps that patient retention, and it helps with, again, schedule stability, forecasting, knowing where you're going in terms of financial health as well.
Yeah, this is one of those new ones. If you've been in dentistry for three decades, like I have, this is one of those metrics that we didn't even know about. We didn't know how to calculate it. It was never talked about. And now it comes onto the scene with the help of things like Dental Intel. And it's so important and so telling. And we're going to do a deep dive in this. I want you to think about this if you're listening right now. Your patients, or any patient, they don't have to go to the dentist. I want you to think about that. Okay, they don't. They really don't. And if you have really good patients, they often don't think about, like, when's my next dental appointment? Okay, that's one piece. Secondly, the gift that dentistry gives is you can pre-fill your schedule, if you do this intentionally, for a very long time with the right type of stuff. I use this analogy all the time, but think about it. If I had a sandwich shop, and what if a sandwich shop, I open it up, Miranda, you and I make sandwiches every day, and all of our customers are lined up outside ready to come in. We already know who's coming in. We're going to be able to, like, serve them really well on the hour. And it's predictable. It's crazy what dentistry offers, that you can keep these people in your schedule. So as you lean into this, there's a huge opportunity and there's a huge missed opportunity in that, in the pre-appointment percentage. And so give us an idea, like, this number, what should it be, Miranda?
Absolutely. And I want to piggyback on what you just said for just a moment, in that you're exactly right. We can't highlight enough that people are not thinking about us as often as we are thinking about patients. We're always concerned in the dental practice of who's in our schedule. You know, do we have enough patients? Do we have enough production? Whatever happened to Mr. So-and-so? Well, Mr. So-and-so probably hasn't thought about us at all, because everything's feeling good. Everything's going fine. And by the time you do catch up, they're like, no way, it's been 2 years. So it really is our responsibility to help get them pre-appointed so that they're tethered to the practice. It reduces the amount of dollars we're going to spend on recall attempts and our team having to call and reach out and call and reach out. So we know this is going well when we are having a pre-appointment percentage is above 65%. So the benchmark is in the industry is 65% or more of your active patients. You really want to be pre-appointed for future visits. So when that's going well, when you're at that 65% or more, typically what that looks like is your team is consistently scheduling the next visit before the patient leaves. It's the default. It is not an option. It's not a consideration. It happens every single time, right? Unless the patient's moving or they're a snowbird or something like that, which I would actually argue you could still schedule them for next summer. Totally. Or next winter. But yeah, so the team is consistently scheduling. That means your assistants are scheduling the delivery, you know, before the patient leaves from their crown prep. If it's the crown delivery, they're scheduling the next restorative procedure. Your hygiene team is pre-scheduling the future hygiene visits. Your hygienists and your administrative team are confident using patient-focused language that builds value in the next visit. We want to make sure that when we're pre-appointing, we're using language that's confirming language, that's not, we're going to pencil you in, let's see how this goes. Why don't you just give us a call? I get it. Your schedule's busy. Call us back when you have some time and we'll find a spot for you. We really want to make sure the team's aligned on having that high value, confident, patient-focused language. And so when your number is 65% or more, that's likely happening more often than not in your practice. And the unscheduled patient list is probably being worked actively. Your hygiene recare follow-up, your patients going inactive, your unscheduled treatment or unscheduled patient list, they're called different things based on the way that you've designed your systems or your practice management software. But you are likely having an administrative team and possibly even your clinical team support those follow-up systems so that when patients do fall through the cracks, we're getting them back into the schedule and they have a future appointment.
Yeah.
Now, when it's not going well, right? When it's under 65%, Typically, that means patients are leaving without scheduling. A lot of times we're being told, you know, just give us a call when you're ready. Or they say, oh, I don't have my calendar with me. The other thing that can happen is when a patient cancels, your team may not be rescheduling them in that moment. And so they were scheduled and now they're not. And so little things to adjust how we respond to cancellations can help impact this metric. A lot of times it just comes down to the team lacking clear expectations or accountability for, again, it being the default that we need to schedule. If we don't express that as part of our patient workflow, that the end of that workflow is resulting in them scheduling their next visit, and then that's a piece of accountability and expectation, then we can't really hold them to that either. So if nobody's reviewing those follow-up systems or looking ahead to make sure there is accountability to the default of pre-scheduling, you're going to end up in a position where that number's not going well and you have holes in your schedule and you have people just falling out the bottom of the bucket and patient attrition. And then you have to spend a lot of money to get new patients, right? Because you've lost the patients that you used to serve. So it's really a downward spiral if you can't stay ahead on the pre-appointed percentage.
Yeah, so well said. I think a couple things that I'll piggyback on what you said is like the efficiency factor of your entire practice skyrockets when everybody understands clear expectations around you. These people have to be scheduled. They have to leave with an appointment. So if you're a dentist, if you're new to this, owning a practice, like that's a mantra you have to have. Everybody has to leave with an appointment because team members don't know. A lot of times they've never been trained or they think we're just so busy anyway. What does it matter? And so be consistent on that side of things. I also love what you said. I want you to go back to this. Strong language is really important. Language matters. You know, you can't go, do you want to make an appointment? And my first thought is no. Like mine is, let's get you scheduled. What do you have a favorite at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's just a matter of fact, you know, we're wrapping everything up and it's just, well, let's go ahead and take a look at the schedule so we can secure your next visit with us. And so we're always just wrapping it with that affirmative statement. It's not an option. It's not like, so do you want to schedule or are you thinking you want to call us back? Like, no, we have to be confident that the next step here is for us to go ahead and take a look in the future and reserve some time. And I do love the phrase reserve time. And I like saying who the provider is. So if I'm the hygienist, I might say, let's look ahead in the schedule and reserve time for your next visit with me. And now you've made that connection and accountability to the patient, to you. Now, if it's not me, the hygienist scheduling, if I'm an administrative team member, perhaps I'm scheduling for the doctor or for the hygienist, I'm going to say, let's go ahead, take a look at the schedule and reserve your time with Dr. Awesome or reserve that time with Michelle, because we want to make sure that they hear it as a reservation and it's connected to a provider, to a person, because people are much less likely to want to disappoint a person that they feel respect for or a kinship with. So when you can use that language, it really builds value about that next visit. They're more likely to keep it also.
Yeah, I love how you said that because, yeah, you could cancel on the practice, but canceling on a person is harder. People don't cancel on their friends or people they respect. So tie it to the provider. That is awesome. And so I think you'd agree, number one, if you're not aware of this metric, find out what it is. And if it is above 65%, high five yourself and ask, how can we get better at this? Because not all patients are good patients for the future of your practice. And that's why if it's below it, you have some work to do. So Miranda, what can I do now to impact this metric if it's not good?
If your metric is below that benchmark, below that 65%, you definitely want to just start by setting the expectation and aligning with your team that it's really important. And in fact, it's our default mode to have every patient leave with their next visit scheduled. And you made a really great point. Sometimes teams will say, well, our hygiene schedule is so busy, I'm scheduling 10 months out. Yes, you are. However, if we don't pre-schedule them now, by the time they do call back or we chase them down, it could be 18 months or 2 years before they get in. So it's also better for the patient, even if you're busy, to go ahead and find that pre-appointed slot for them and reserve that time. The other thing, aside from just creating that line in the sand that this is an expectation, you know, if you haven't done that yet, just do it now. And starting now, we can start to hold everyone accountable to that. The other thing is, again, using outcome-based language when scheduling, tying the appointment to the patient's health. If they've shared their goal with you, tying it to the goal, not just you're going to be due in 6 months, or you're going to be due by this date. A lot of times we get hung up as clinicians, especially on that due date, just based on the turn of the calendar and the, you know, 1960s toothpaste commercial about twice a day, twice a year. But what we really want to do is customize the conversation so that the patient knows how important this next appointment is to whatever their health goal is. So, you know, Mr. Jones, you shared with me that it's really important to you to keep your teeth. I know that was a, you know, rough experience for your parents. We're going to do everything we can to help take care of that for you. To help you do that, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the schedule and see if we can't reserve some time in 3 months with Michelle, our hygienist, so that we can keep you on track. And you're, again, you're elevating the language, you're building the value around the appointment, not only so that they'll schedule now, but also so that hopefully they'll maintain that appointment. So you're going to set clear expectations that it's default here that we pre-schedule the next appointment. You're going to use that outcome value-based language when reserving the next appointment. And you really want to implement a reliable follow-up system, unscheduled patient report, hygiene follow-up system, anything that's going to be measuring and tracking the people that do not currently have a future appointment. And that's worked weekly or biweekly by someone who really owns that system. So typically an administrative team member will be responsible for having the list of unscheduled patients or hygiene patients without a future appointment. And they're consistently calling that on a regular rhythm. And I say calling that, they're probably building in text, they're probably building in email. But you also should be making those personal connections. And they're working that. A lot of times what we see is that people only call those lists when they're trying to fill a hole. When someone's canceled and they need to fill something short notice. But it should be something you're calling as part of your regular weekly checklist rhythm so that you're always having touch points. Because it can take 10, 15 attempts to reach out to someone before you actually get a hold of them and have them in your schedule again.
Yes. So well said. Miranda, that was excellent. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm just going to say this. I've been doing education for a long time. I wish I had somebody like Miranda early on in my career just to show me what this meant, how to do it, and how to make it better. And I'm telling you, these podcasts on Monday, if you're just struggling and you just don't even know where to start, share them with your team. Sit down and talk with your team about this. But this is a great place to start, as every Metric Monday is. Look at the number, find out what it is, and then start asking questions. How is this working? Is it not working? And then you can lean on this podcast, share it with your team members. And if you're really inclined and you want to do more, you can come back into the Best Practices Association. We actually have an app now. If you search on the Apple Store or Google Play Store, you can search Best Practices Association. You can start the journey for free. You can upgrade to premium, which you get all the access of the tools and the step-by-step tutorials. I'll leave you with a little hint here. Miranda's created some amazing courses back there that show you how to get off of PPOs. It shows you how to create the ideal schedule. So don't sit and try to figure this all out. Just have your team go through the course with you and your team, and you can learn how to do this better, like do it best practices. You can talk to people in the community. And then if you want to upgrade, you can upgrade to teams where you can get the support that each one of your team members have. You can see I'm pretty excited about this, but we now have a resource. We love this stuff. We're going to keep bringing it. The podcast is just the tip of the iceberg. And as you go back in the Best Practices Association, you're going to see there's more resources, more support. Join us. And I promise you, we're going to help you create a better practice and a better life. We're going to keep bringing it. So Miranda, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah. And it's Monday. So thank you guys for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I don't know how this is working, but Metric Monday seems like you guys like it. The numbers are going up. So we're going to keep bringing it. And we got a lot more to talk about. So I hope your week is a great one. And keep tuning in as we've got more stuff that's ahead. And until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. I hope you guys enjoy your Monday. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here. and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.